Happy New Year, everyone. It's wonderful to be able to be back. Our family was away back in Chicago. I'm probably several pounds heavier, full of deep dish pizza and a lot of good Korean food, but it's really, really great to be back. Is anyone else like me still in vacation holiday recovery mode? So I'm still feeling it, a little hard to focus, a little bit tired. I need a holiday from the holidays, so to speak, but it's wonderful to be back. This morning, I wanted to share a few pastoral reflections that if I had the opportunity to be able to sit across a table with you one-on-one at Starbucks and share with you a few things on my mind and heart of how I, as pastor at Trinity, would like to see and experience for me as well as a congregation, I put together a few thoughts I wanted to share with us before we approach the Lord's table in communion. No slides today, so listen up, you all. Hebrews 13, if you have your Bibles, verses 15 to 18 is the passage that I wanted to read. Hebrews 13, and if you don't have a Bible, you can just listen, and I'll go over the main part of this passage. Hebrews 13, 15 to 18. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I love this part of the verse. In the latter part of verse 17, do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. This morning, I'm not going to bash everyone over the head about submit to me, I'm your spiritual authority and leader. Although I think that there is a time for a message that goes through what does that mean to have spiritual authority in your life, and I think that definitely could be a very important message for all of us to hear, as naturally we love to be free birds. We don't like authority over us, but all of us desperately need it in our lives because we so easily go astray like lost sheep. But I'm just reminded at the start of this new year and after a reflection of 5 years of ministry at our church, I realized that the pastoral calling, especially as senior pastor, as lead pastor of any congregation, whether it's 50 people or 5,000 people, it is an awesome responsibility. Awesome as in, oh my goodness, that's so awesome. Yes, okay. I mean, that's part of it. But awesome as it is heavy. It's not easy. There's a weight to being responsible for a congregation, no matter how small or how big, that pastors do carry. And that James 3:1 always comes to my mind in the midst of it. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. The 30 or so years of leading and teaching and preaching for myself, there are probably some crazy things I may have shared over the years, especially in my earlier youth pastor years, and I'm like, oh my gosh, did I preach heresy, and am I leading people astray? And of course, not intentionally, but we're all growing and learning about God and His Word. And so there is this awesome weight and, yes, privilege and responsibility in serving as a pastor, as your pastor. And this verse 17 in particular is something that really captured my heart over winter break. How do we conduct ourselves and have a relationship between a congregation and the pastor that really makes it joy-filled and not a burden? Because in so many ways, it's like a marriage, is it not? And when the congregation is full of joy, often the pastor feels it. When the pastor is full of joy, often the congregation feels it. And so that's why the writer of Hebrews is saying, so that it's not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. And so this morning, I just wanted to begin by communicating that I recognize, even after quite a few years in ministry, what an awesome responsibility it is to be a shepherd of souls and a minister of the gospel. And it's something that sometimes I do want to run away from because it is a heavy weight. At the same time, it's such an honor and high call and privilege to be able to represent our chief shepherd as an under-shepherd to his flock. And so a few things that I think would be helpful to mutual joy sharing. Is that okay to share that? Mutual joy sharing as we move forward in this new year. One of the things, and this is being a little bit vulnerable and a little bit embarrassing. Ooh, what is Pastor going to share? I still don't know all your names. You don't? I know a lot more than I did 5 years ago. But I have to share that I'm still learning names. And please put yourself in my shoes. If you had to memorize everyone's names as people are coming and going, and their children and grandchildren and all the extended family, it's a lot. Are you guys good with names? Okay. It's a challenge. But yet, it's so important for a congregation and their pastor to be able to know that pastor knows at least my name. And so that is something that I wanted to put out there, that I'm still learning. And I can tell as I greet people out, when I'm able to remember a name, there's a little bit of a smile. People light up. When I don't remember it, I just like if you're on that receiving end, and just as I have been, if people can't remember your name, it's an important thing. And so I share that as a moment of vulnerability, and at the same time, it is so important that we know, well, you know my name, right, Peter, Kim? You know my name, as I'm still in the process, because there's a lot of people here, and there are a lot of children and grandchildren, extended family. And so what I'm asking is, please continue to give me grace and patience, and please don't take it personally when I don't remember, or if I call you Bob when your name is Bill, or John when it's Jack, or what have you. Please don't take it personally. I'm still working on it. And remind me. Remind me once again if I forget and I don't say it first as I'm greeting people out the door, out as you leave the church into the parking lot. I won't take it personally. I hope you won't take it personally. And let's keep working at it because I believe it is really, really important. Is that a trivial thing to share? Is that okay to kind of put that there? It's really important. It really is. And I'm still working on it. And I know that I and Kathy, we're still using the directory from over a decade ago, the picture directory. And yes, it is time. We do need to update that for sure because church has changed a lot in, 10 or 15 years. But I'm still using that, and we do need to update that. Another thing I wanted to share in terms of how do we increase our mutual joy between pastor and congregation. The first year that our family landed here was absolutely nuts in terms of the amount of invites to dinners at your homes and restaurants and coffee and breakfast. And literally it was almost every weekend, even throughout the week, it was nuts. I'm like, wow, I feel like a rock star, was my initial feeling about it. At the same time, man, this is hard. I hope it slows down sometime. And in the midst, it definitely slowed down, especially once we hit COVID. But just like in that first year, both Kathy and I so much still want to get to know many of you personally. It's so important to be able to not just exchange an email or a text or call the church, but to be able to sit down together over a coffee or a meal and just hear your story and for you to hear mine. And there's nothing more powerful than that kind of personal time. And so I share this in that a lot of that kind of dissipated, especially through the pandemic. But in so many ways, new year, beginning of the year, we have a chance to hit the reset button in so many ways. And if you call Trinity home and we have not had an opportunity to meet you and spend some time with you outside of the church walls, I invite you to pursue me and I will pursue you. And we would love to be able to grab some time to get to know you better. Is that okay to express that? Because I feel that getting to know our congregation and your loved ones is so important. And I think that first year was, as crazy as it was so helpful in getting to know your names, your stories, your joys, your struggles. And I hope that in this new year that, especially for Kathy and I, that we're able to get to know many of you, especially if we've not had that chance and privilege to be able to meet you at Starbucks, McDonald's, Silk City, wherever. I have a budget, so I'll treat you. So don't worry about it. I got a budget. So don't worry about the money, and we just want to get to know you. And so let's continue to pursue each other as we continue to move forward in this new year. And if it's been a while, let me know. We'll set something up and meet and get to know each other and have that personal kind of time. Another thought I wanted to share as we move along here is that know that as pastor, my hand is indirectly or directly over every ministry at church. The buck does stop with me. It's an awesome privilege, but it's also a very heavy responsibility. And I say that just to share that if at times I don't necessarily quickly get back to you on an urgent matter from your experience and perspective, or if I'm not able to show up to a particular meeting or what have you, it doesn't mean that as your pastor, I don't care or your ministry is not important. Everyone has a particular passion and area they so love to serve in. And as lead pastor, I want to be able to support and encourage everyone in their passions and gifts that God has given you, but there are limitations to time and energy and scheduling, and I'm just asking for the grace not to take it personally, and it doesn't mean that I don't care. And my personality is such that I often wait to be invited into something. So if there is a meeting or something that you're involved in, invite me. I will move heaven and earth to eventually make it and show up and find out and help and encourage in any shape or form. And so over the years, I know that some have wanted me to stop by at a meeting or what have you, and sometimes when I'm not able to or I'm not there, it's very easy to take it personally, especially when it's your passion of ministry. But know that I do care. We pray and think through everything, especially working through our staff and our board and the key leaders. But know that I do want to be there, and invite me. And I will do my best in a timely manner to be able to get back to you and eventually participate in that area. Because all of us have feelings that are fragile. It's very easy to hurt one another unintentionally. And know that my heart is to see you thrive and succeed in your areas of ministry and passions. And we're at a weird size as a church where we're not a tiny church, but we're not like a huge church, but we're small enough that there are pastoral expectations. And I get it. And I will try my best in this year. You just have to let me know and invite me, and we will definitely set something up. Is that good? One or two last things, and we'll wrap it up here. As much as possible, when there's a situation where you would like to discuss a concern, I always get nervous about, I have a concern, let's meet up and talk about it. Let's pick up the phone. Long written emails and letters have a time and place, but if we are able to meet up and talk about it, I think that would go a long way, because I can't see your beautiful faces and smiles and vice versa when it's over an email or a text. And as much as possible, let's try to at least grab a phone call and then meet in person, that I could hear the concerns and I can provide feedback, I can apologize if I need to, and we can make things right. And so I invite you to take me up on that. And God help me as we try to navigate through the many meetings. But I, if at all possible, if we can meet in person and talk about it, even a phone call, I think it would go a long way to clear up any misunderstandings, communications. And if you are going to send something digitally, please try not to send it Saturday night or some of us Sunday morning, when I'm getting ready to preach and lead the congregation, for I do care deeply about our congregation and families, and when there's a concern, I ruminate on, I think about it, and often there have been sleepless nights just because I care, and we want to make it right. And so Saturday night is not the best time to send something like that, or Sunday morning, but 12 o'clock, lunchtime Sunday, it's all good. Go for it. So I wanted to share that also. And finally, this past COVID season, though for the most part the worst is over, we are still feeling its impact and effects, even as you look around of who's here and who's not here. COVID, just like for you all, especially for myself and pastors, was really, 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 really hard. And so as we move forward in this new year, boy, do we need to mutually encourage one another and pray for each other and lift each other up as much as possible, because we've all been through hell and back, and we're trying to rebuild our lives and rebuild our church. And so I think with that understanding, this mutual joy can continually be built. I've been encouraged as pastors throughout our denomination here in the East Coast Conference to find spiritual mentorship, spiritual director, a coach. And I thought, why do I need that in my life? I've been doing this for a long time, until Kathy finally said, honey, get a coach. I said, okay. So I contacted our East Coast Conference leaders and Barbara, and have been set up with an amazing coach and spiritual mentor that we are meeting via Zoom twice a month. He's a retired pastor with all kinds of accolades and accomplishments and humility and Christ-likeness, and he deeply cares. And that has been so helpful, to be encouraged by an older pastor who has walked the walk and been through so much over the years, and that's been great. And I just want to share this last thing with you that he shared with me just on Friday when we had our coach and spiritual mentoring meeting. He said, Peter, hang in there. Many pastors leave before the 5-year mark, and they miss out on some of the deepest impact and years of ministry that are yet to come, that often occur after the first 5 years. He said, hang in there. And Kathy and I have reflected a lot that it's really taken about 5 years to get our sea legs and to begin to understand you all a lot better and our 130 years of beautiful history. And so after 5 years, both Kathy and I really do feel that we are in a place where we've shown you that we haven't left, that we're still hanging in there. We're trying to fight the good fight of faith. We love you all. We're in this together. And as we think about the next 5 years and beyond, we do believe that after spending these initial years getting to know one another, building trust, friendship, and love, that we will be able to enter in these next couple of years really as my coach and spiritual mentor, Don, has shared with me, that you're going to see some great things happen in your next five. Hang in there. And so I end with Colossians. Thank you. I end with just Colossians 1:28-29, and you can just listen. Paul writes, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. What a heart of a pastor to have the vision to present everyone fully mature in Christ. You need me and I need you. And as we mutually establish a relationship of mutual submission and serving one another and open and honest communication, I believe that joy should mark a pastor and the congregation's relationship, because if that is absent, it really makes it awfully difficult to move the bar forward in terms of a church's vision and mission. To this end, Paul writes, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me, to have a vision to see everyone fully mature in Christ. That is a few thoughts that I put together as I'm in my holiday recovery mode and trying to lose my Chicago deep dish pizza weight gain from the holidays, that as we move forward together, and next week I will share my vision message at the start of the year of where we're heading towards, and I look forward to sharing that with you. Let us be excited and be humble as we prepare for the things that God has for us in this next season and in this new year. He will do it by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. That is his love for you and I. And so I wanted to share some of those things in this first opportunity with you all, and I hope it will be a source of encouragement as we continue to rebuild our lives in the power of Christ and our church. Let's pray together as we prepare for celebrating the Lord's Supper together. If you could close your eyes with me, and our Heavenly Father, we are humbled by the invitation to journey with you in this new year as individuals and as families and as the body of Christ here at Trinity. And we thank you for the opportunity to, together as one congregation, to be able to be expectant of great things because of Jesus. And so I pray, Father, at the start of this year, and even as we turn to you through the sacrament of Holy Communion, that you would once again remind us of your great love for the church and for this church, Trinity Covenant Church. And so I pray that as we move forward and as we try our best to have a relationship of mutual joy in this awesome responsibility of living out as citizens of the kingdom of God, send your Holy Spirit to meet us and empower us and fill us once again. And so we invite you here, Lord Jesus, no matter where we are in our lives, where we are in our relationship to you, we're honored and humbled by this opportunity to be together, to start the new year together with our families, and to now approach your table as we see the one who has given himself to us in that act of ultimate self-giving love. So come, Holy Spirit, meet us in a special way as we and our children and grandchildren approach your table and are reminded of our common unity and bond in Jesus Christ through his blood. Unify our church, whether it's been a lifelong part of our lives or even just a few weeks here at Trinity. Remind us of our unity in Christ. We invite you to come, Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. If I can invite you all to rise as we confess with the Apostles' Creed, the tenets of our faith, and as those who are watching via live stream, if you can also read along with us and also prepare your own elements so that you can also join with us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Together now, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And we're reminded of the words of Jesus Christ himself, as they were delivered to us by the Apostle Paul, on the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. Reminding us that this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread, whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. This is the Lord's table and invites you, all who know and love him, no matter how badly you have struggled this past year, in Jesus Christ you have a new beginning and you have a new year. And so lay your burdens aside. Know that he forgives you of your past when you come to him by faith. He renews and he redeems, and we begin again, not just as individuals between you and God, but we as a community and as a family here at Trinity, together we begin a new year. And so as you approach the table, trust in him. Let him into your life, your pain, your struggles. Let him cleanse you. Let him renew you. Let him fill you as we together prepare for a new year. And so with that, we will invite our communion service forward. And as you take of the elements, they will be put into your hands. If any of us would like a word of encouragement or prayer, as we did last time, my wife and I will be on the right side. Members of prayer team will be on the left side. And we'd love to talk with you, hug you, listen to you, say a word of prayer as you take the elements. And if you're not sure where you are with Jesus, come talk to us. We'll pray with you. Let's together make that kind of step toward receiving Christ and his gift of salvation. We invite you now. This is the Lord's table, and it is Jesus who invites you to come. Take the elements. Run to him as you are reminded of his incredible, indescribable love for you and I. And so at this time, we'll invite you forward, and you'll be invited row by row, just to keep it a little bit orderly, and enjoy your time between you and the Lord and together as a church community, between us and the Lord. We invite you to come now and take of the elements by faith.